Saints in Netherlands. They were all saying, please greet the Saints when you get back home. So greetings from the Saints. You haven't met them, but I'm sure we'll all be together one day. Really fine believers that are there. Okay, so we're on YouTube. So God bless Saints. Anybody else who's joined us, we do welcome you today. Let's put on our slides. We want to continue on with the Beatitudes. And what we are looking at is, sorry, let me just share my screen here. We wanted to look at blessed are the peacemakers. I think it's quite a noble thought to think of. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, so if we can get our slides now. If it won't hide away from me here. And share. Okay, so we're looking in the scriptures at Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Like they say, they've tried to improve the Beatitudes, tried to improve the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing that you can add to the word because the word in itself is perfect. Yeah, we're looking at the seventh Beatitude, which is found in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's an interesting one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Why will they be called the children of God? It's a good thing to think of. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for bringing us back to this place today. Thank you for the song worship. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship we have one with another, how we need this fellowship, Lord, how we pray for this place, how we pray for the rest of your people. Brother Alex, Sister Anne, I do pray for them that you strengthen them tonight and all the rest of your people. Sister Aggie, you be with her down there in Carlo. But thank you that you've allowed us to come, Lord. Father, even Sister Anne, we think of her as well. And all of your people, Father, bless your people, we pray. And now, Lord, we want to fellowship with you in your word, that you would instruct us and guide us and lead us. So, Lord, we put ourselves in your hands and ask your blessing upon your word and your special blessing upon the souls of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless saints. Let's be seated. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we know that all of these Beatitudes. Yes, please, Brian. Okay, sorry. Okay. That's why we need all the help we can get. That's why the body of Christ is not a one-man show, yeah? There you go. Thank you. So, okay, that's actually, sorry, Brian, that's the previous one. That's the one there. Yeah, we want to get that one on there. So what do we do? Just play,
Just
Brian.
play.
Yeah. Okay. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, good. Thank you very much. So the scripture, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's a serious one. We want to be called the children of God. Now we know that each of these beatitudes requires us to be in the spirit of the kingdom because these are the characteristics of the kingdom that Christ was coming to bring. So he's saying that anybody who's born in my kingdom, we saw it the other week, has the potential in them. If you're born of the Spirit of Christ, if you're born of the kingdom of God, there's the potential in you to express these different characteristics of the kingdom. You don't have to express them. You don't have to be meek if you don't want to be. I mean, if you want to get in the flesh and you want to be angry and aggressive and all those kind, that's up to you. But the potential is in the heart of every believer to express each of these characteristics. You can be poor in spirit, you can realize your need for the Lord, you can be a peacemaker, you can be meek. Go and read them all for yourself. And you'll see these are the characteristics that Jesus is saying. If you want to know the people that are in my kingdom, go and look for people that have got these kind of characteristics. And then he continues on further and says, they're also going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake and the other things that anybody in the kingdom is going to experience as well. But in order to express these things, for example, we're looking at blessed are the peacemakers. This needs us to be in the spirit of the kingdom. Now, the prophet speaks about, we spoke about it the other week, you know, the blackbird taking the dove feathers and trying to stick them in and make himself into a dove. No, a dove is a dove because it's a dove from within, because of its nature. A lamb bears wool. It doesn't manufacture wool. It doesn't get wool from an external source. Because it has the nature of a lamb, it's going to bring forth wool. You know, it's a sheep will bring forth wool. And that's the same with all of these kind of things. When you're speaking of this kind of peacemaking, we're speaking about something can only really be done when somebody's in the spirit. No, that is the only real way that the Beatitudes can ever be expressed. We can't do these things through, in our own strength. And you can't use your own wisdom or your own guile or psychology. People try to use those kind of things, but it doesn't get the job done. You've got to be in the spirit in order for these things to be fulfilled inside of your life. And it's like it with anything in the kingdom. Now, I find this really interesting, is that it says that war is one of the constants. So, I mean, we're in a situation, I don't know how many wars in the world now, there's a lot. War is one of the constants of history, has not diminished with civilization and democracy. So, the most and fiercest wars that have ever been held have been in the last 100 years. Now, the First World War, the Second World War, Armageddon's going to be the mother of all wars, going to finish all things up. So it shows that you can't civilize people into peace. The most civilized nations, Germany, the most civilized nation, started two world wars within 30 years. Yeah, but you think about it, 20-something years. So it's not civilization or democracy or the change of how you run your government and that. That's not how you bring peace on earth. It actually brings even more war. In the last 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war. So imagine, only 268 years in history, there was no war on earth. So what is that showing us? Fallen man is naturally given to war, to conflict, to strife, to finding things to differ with somebody else and go to war with them. That shows that we need almost constantly peacemakers. We need peacemakers in this life. As long as man is fallen, as long as you and I are living in a fallen body, which is subject to these things as well, we're going to need to be peacemakers. We're going to need peacemakers because we're never going to be very far from war and strife in this fallen world. Now, we know that. We know it by experience. There's just wars is natural. It just seems natural to man to go to war. And you just over what? And sometimes it's over the most foolish thing. In South America, there was a big war, I think in the 1960s, between, I think, Uruguay and somebody over a football match. They went to war with one another because of a football match. And that's what man is very warlike in his natural disposition. If somebody's not born again, it's very easy for them to be warlike. So this word peacemaker, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, it's derived from the verb which means to bind or join together that which is broken or divided. So it speaks of reconciliation. It speaks of restoration. So the moment something is broken or divided, if somebody's in the kingdom of God, it's going to just inside of you, you want to bring that back together again. There's no way you and I could ever be satisfied as the children of God when there's no peace in our relationships with people. Doesn't mean we can always make peace with somebody because people may fight against you and you do all you can and there's nothing you can do. But it's just naturally inside of somebody who's born in the kingdom of God that you want reconciliation. You don't want to be at war with people. You can't be at rest when you're at war with people. So the idea is to set at one again. You want to bring things back together. I will restore, says the Lord. So redemption is part of this. Redemption will always bring things back together. We'll see it as we go along. So peacemakers are those who facilitate. So there's people that come and see two opposing parties and see things aren't going well, and you facilitate. You go and stand between. You start trying to find ways, praying, seeking, using the wisdom of God, the right time, right place, right opportunity to bring things together, try to bring understanding, whatever that it is to bring people together. So peacemakers are facilitators to bring people, bringing them back into a one place once again, bringing people back into a one accord. And it's just naturally inside of us. We love being at peace with people. That's how God made us, because God is the supreme peacemaker. Now, the key thing is peace is not simply the absence of war. You might not be openly at strife with somebody, but you still don't have peace with them. No, it's all an uneasy truce. The nations can be like that. I'll put a white flag there because a nation can conquer another nation. Doesn't mean you're really at peace with them, It just means you've conquered them. They just don't have an opportunity to show what they really are again. So they'll toe the line and act the way you want them to act. But given an opportunity, they're going to show who they really are. So peace is not the absence of war. You know, so if we want peace, you might look in life that I'm staying away from that person. That's not being a peacemaker, because peace is not the absence of war. It's not an uneasy truce where you say, ah, let me keep distance from that person in church. I know I used to fellowship with them really, really well, but I don't want to fellowship with them. I'm going to stay away from them. It's impossible for a child of God to be satisfied in that condition. No, it's just not in a believer to say that is a satisfactory way of handling things, because that's not really how it is. No, we're not looking for the absence of war as believers. We're looking for genuine peace. Amen. And that's what you're looking for. We're not just wanting, you know, to put a person in a position that they're unwillingly say, I'm really sorry for what I did. You make a truce between yourselves. But you can still feel between yourselves that there's not reconciliation. That's not the way that it should be. Now, the very first peace that there's got to be, if you go right back to Eden, back in Eden, there was peace, perfect peace before sin came in, because man had oneness with God. So the most important peace, you've got to have peace with God first. It's very difficult for people to have peace with one another if you don't have peace with God. No, if you're really contending against the Lord, that's going to be reflected in all of your relationships. Yeah, and that's why you find many times troublemakers in church, they're out of harmony with the Lord. No, they can just get themselves right in harmony with the Lord, get back into oneness with Him. When I'm in oneness with Him, you find it. Everything goes well in your life. In your health goes well, in your job, your studies. You know, you'll find somebody who's really walking with the Lord, even their desk is neat and tidy and this and that. Somebody is out of harmony with the Lord, just everything, even their cars full of papers and McDonald's packets and stuff. You know, there's, but when somebody is like in harmony with the Lord, when somebody is walking with the Lord, it's reflected in everything you do. And what about your relationships? Now, you'll find a harmony in your home. You'll find a harmony with your neighbors as far as possible. Because the Bible says, live peaceably with all men. Amen. As far as you possibly can. Doesn't mean you can always do it. But on your side, you can just do that. So in the beginning, there was oneness. There was an atmosphere. The kingdom of God was on earth in Eden. The glory of the Lord covered the earth. There was no sin. Now, there, imagine what it must have been like there. Beautiful. The man was at peace with the animals. No, the animals weren't fierce and they didn't eat man. And yeah, you think of what they had in the beginning. But then sin came in now. And that's when all the problems started now. That's when all the strife and all the contention, all the blaming one another. Adam and Eve and the problem that came into their relationship was because they lost their oneness with God. Therefore, they lost their oneness one with another. They started blaming each other and blaming the serpent and the things that they did. But God shows His nature. He demonstrated right from Eden that God's nature is a peacemaker. That's why He said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God, because God is the supreme peacemaker. So His children are going to naturally be peacemakers as well. You're going to be like your father. It's just natural to be like that. Right from Eden, the Lord wouldn't leave it like that. When He saw His family, there was disorder in the family. It was the seventh day. God was resting in His Sabbath rest, His spiritual rest. But He broke His Sabbath rest because He knew there's got to be reconciliation down there on earth, because my family is not at peace. They're not at peace with me, and they're not at peace one with another. He couldn't rest. And He's never rested since then. When is He going to rest again? Is in the millennium. When peace is restored once again. Yeah. But He's working now. Jesus says, my Father works and I work hitherto. So He's at work now, bringing reconciliation, making peace and bringing people back into the right relationship with Him and with one another. God's nature would never allow Him to leave things the way that they were. When the discord came into Eden, when conflict came into the relationship, God could never leave it like that. No, the spirit in Him constrained Him, God being a spirit. I've got to do something about this. I can't leave this breach there. Like we've said before, the Spirit of Christ always steps into the breach. When there's a breach, that's what the seals are all about, Revelation chapter 5. There's a great breach. The Spirit of Christ will always step into the breach. With Aaron, remember his with the incense when there was a rift in the relationship and they wanted to kill him and Moses, and the Lord was displeased, and Aaron got in the Spirit of Christ. He threw himself in the gap. Because to be a peacemaker is to be a mediator. You know, you're trying to bring reconciliation between two aggrieved or two warring parties. And that part, one, you might actually be one of the parties. You know, somebody's, you're out of peace with somebody, out of harmony, your relationship's not right with somebody. The Spirit of Christ in you surely is going to constrain you to say, you know, you need to pray, take a man to prayer before God. That's always how you started. Go and speak to the Lord about it and put yourself in the other person's shoes. Let the Spirit of God start speaking to you and then seeking the right opportunity using wisdom. That's what I'm saying. You can't do these things just in the natural sense. You just make it worse. We've all tried to do that in life. Now you try to go at the wrong time, or you try to say that you try to use psychology or try to use emotion or something. You can make a bad situation worse. But when you allow the Holy Ghost, because God, the Spirit of Christ, is by nature a peacemaker. Why do you think the Holy Ghost is tied by a dove? The dove is the emblem of peace universally. Because God, the Spirit of Christ, loves peace. That's what he wants. He leads you by still waters, leads you to pastures green. Now, when there's strife and confusion, the Spirit of God is grieved and leaves a place like that. The prophet says he doesn't go far, he's just sitting there. But he's waiting for you to become a lamb again. He's waiting for you to come gentle and become peaceful once again. And then he can come back and start doing what it is that's natural for him to do. So God's nature, right from Eden, we see it, the nature of the Spirit of God himself. He's willing to disrupt his rest. He's willing to come down. He's willing to do whatever that it takes to bring reconciliation once again, because God is the great peacemaker. What is his name? I think of Rastivi when I see this word, Jehovah Shalom. Now he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord our peace. Shalom is peace, the word for peace. Now he's Jehovah the peacemaker. That's his nature. So his children are going to be peacemakers as well. His children can be nothing else because they are the same material. We are chip off the old block. Yeah, but not your flesh, not your outward man. Your outward man and my outward man is a troublemaker most of the time. It makes trouble for you. You can't even be at peace with yourself. You'll be wrestling with your own mind, your own thoughts, your own desires. It just shows. But in your soul, you have peace. You have rest with God. Now, his name is Jehovah Shalom. What is his name to Abraham? He was Melchizedek. He was the king of peace, the king of Salem. Yeah, he was the king of Shalom when he came to Abraham. So who is Jesus going to be? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the son of the king. That's what the prophet says. And who is this Melchizedek? He says, God, Melchizedek is the king of peace, the king of Salem, yeah, the king of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the vision of peace. That's the city of peace. That's where Christ is going to rule in the millennium when the Prince of Peace rules from the city of peace. And there'll be perfect peace when he has perfect headship once again. When his kingdom has come and is established on earth, it'll be back to Eden again. There'll be perfect peace. There'll be no strife at all. His kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is a kingdom of perfect peace. When the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, there was no strife there. It was perfect peace. He said it was sublime, couldn't explain what it was like, couldn't describe it. He said, perfection. He says, you just have to be there. But it's a kingdom of perfect peace. And you, when you and I got saved, and we had strife with ourselves, that strife with God, and salvation came to us, what's the first thing you had? Peace with God. A peace that passes understanding. That's what it says. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. The world won't give you any peace, but God gives us the peace. So when Christ comes back now, when his kingdom comes, that's how he prayed in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When he comes back and sets up, he has the rulership, headship of this earth once again, then there's going to be a kingdom of perfect peace on earth. There'll be absolutely no division in the millennium. No division. Race, color, creed, none of those things. It's just going to be peace, just going to be harmony the way that it was in the beginning. That's going to, Isaiah chapter 11, when it speaks, Daniel was singing in the car coming, peace in the valley. It says, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, in the millennium, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. The wolf is going to be with the kid. We're not going to have contention and conflict and strife and bloodshed. That's all done away with. Once an atmosphere of the kingdom has full dominion on earth once again, it just casts out all the strife because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Micah chapter 4, verse 3, it's a really wonderful scripture speaking of the kingdom of the Messiah, speaking of the kingdom of Christ when he comes in the millennium. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations far off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. So instead of swords, they're going to take the swords, the weapons of war, put them in the furnace, beat them, and make plowshares so you can make plows. To do productive things, to bring forth life instead of bringing forth death. That's what's going to happen. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now, those hooks that you would prune the trees with and all that. It says, nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Why? Because the atmosphere has changed. Because his kingdom has come.
Amen.
People now that were at war with each other now, when his kingdom comes, you start changing it into something that's fruitful instead of something that's destructive. It's just natural. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of reconciliation. But obviously, blessed are the peacemakers. I don't know if we can say it, but cursed are the troublemakers. I think we can as we read the scriptures. There's nothing worse than troublemakers. I put three there. Look, there's Satan. Satan's the great troublemaker. What happened in the kingdom of Michael before the foundation of the world? Who broke the peace? It was Lucifer who broke the peace, and he's never changed. When he's given opportunity to express himself, he brings strife, he brings division, he brings confusion. That's just the nature of the spirit of the devil. Whereas the spirit of Christ will always work to bring reconciliation, oneness, harmony back again, people back together. What about Cain? As soon as the nature of Satan was born on earth through Cain, what did he do? He shed the blood of his brother. He made war with his brother. The first bloodshed in the Bible was Cain, of man, was Cain killing his brother. What about Nimrod? Yeah, Nimrod. He was the first one who raised armies. You go and read your church age book. He was the first one who raised armies and waged warfare against other nations and brought them under himself and built his tower. That's a type of the Antichrist. You can just see troublemakers. The moment somebody gets anointed by the devil, they become a troublemaker. Because Satan is a troublemaker. It's just his nature, the nature of the spirit of the devil, to institute war, to bring strife, to bring confusion. What is his name? Revelation 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So he's got a double name there. The devil, and he deceives the whole world. Satan comes from the word Satanus, means the adversary, the opposer. That's conflict. He's against you. He's trying to catch you. He's trying to trip you up. He's trying to, make you do wrong. Like I say, he'll anoint you and tempt you to steal something, and while you're stealing it, he phones the police, That's who he is. That's exactly the nature of the devil. That's what he tries to do. So Satan is the spirit of strife, contention. I remember once before when Brother Brian Locke said that to me, I never forgot it. He said, brother, you can never satisfy a critical spirit. When somebody has a critical spirit on them, they criticize everything. No matter how you answer, that always criticize. That just change. It's a spirit upon a person. When somebody is in that spirit of strife, ooh, it really needs the grace of God to to change that kind of a situation. But he's called Satan. What about the devil? The devil, Diabolos, that's the name. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses the brethren. You never want to be someone who's accusing the brethren. Yeah. One who accuses and divides people without any reason. What's he doing? He's bringing strife between Job and God. He's accusing God. He's saying to Job, "You think God really loves you?" He's saying to the Lord, "This guy doesn't really love you. Just because you put a hedge of protection, right? If you take the hedge of protection, you stop praying, he's not going to worship you anymore." He's always trying to bring the division, trying to bring us, even when there's no reason. There was no reason between Job and the Lord for any confusion or strife. It was Satan who got in the middle. And you find it among the children of God. The vast majority of the time, 99% of the time, when there's strife, when there's confusion, when there's division, there's no real cause. It'll be such a small little thing. You see, but you can tell it's the devil has taken advantage of a situation because he's made it something far bigger than it was. Because the devil is a quickening spirit. You see, he quickens things. He like accelerates and energizes. Those are the things that he takes a natural situation, a natural misunderstanding, and given an opportunity when the spirit of the devil gets in there, it becomes far bigger, the effect it can have from a small little something. And you always know that the devil's at work is when you're dealing with things and you find a little fire comes over here, people are not agreeing, you put out that fire, it comes over here, then it comes back over here, and you see, but what's going on here? There's nothing major which you can put your finger on, but you can just see it's the spirit of division. It's just the devil trying to work because he knows if he can get enough division, it grieves the dove. The atmosphere changes and the Spirit of God cannot work in that kind of a condition. And then Satan's conquered you by proxy. He's conquered you in a very clever way. Now he's conquered you, and because without the Spirit of Christ, we're helpless. There's nothing that we can do. The final one, Diabolos, means one who casts either himself or something between two in order to separate them. So if he can come in the middle, he'll do it. But if not, he'll put something else. And it'll be a lie or half-truth. Or he'll anoint something which wasn't really the real fact. And then you'll hear, that person said this against you. But they didn't say it in that spirit. And somebody else will be anointed now to come. You know what that person really thinks about you? That is absolutely the spirit of Diabolos. Because he's putting something between brethren, between two. He's there to oppose. The Spirit of Christ is always a reconciler. He's always trying to bring things together. The spirit of the devil is always trying to divide. Because Satan knows the tactic of divide and conquer. If he can bring a division. How did every message lose the revival in days gone by? Division. The division came in and they lost their original atmosphere that came, the anointing that came with the message. They continued on with the message, but they lost that anointing because, like the prophet speaks of the Pentecostals and I will restore, how they fought over the oneness of the Godhead. And the prophet says that if they could have just stayed in the spirit, those brothers that caught the revelation that, you know, God is one, not three, by 1914, whatever that it was, said if they could have stayed in the spirit and kept the anointing on them and presented it properly to their brethren might have believed it as well. But instead, they made it an issue. They made it an ism. Yeah, they harped on it. They made, we have more than you. And the devil got in there. And now there came a division. And now all of a sudden, you had different groups under the same message. And that's always what Satan is looking to do. It's the spirit of the devil, Diabolos, to cast either himself or something between two, because he wants to separate them. That's always the spirit of the devil. What does Proverbs say in chapter 6? These six things does the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination to him. There's not too many times you'll find in the Bible it says the Lord hates something. That something is an abomination, something is disgusting, something like it makes him feel sick. What are they? The last one. A false witness, this is number 6. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord among brethren, that's the seventh thing that God hates. It's an abomination to him. He that sows discord, that means to stir up strife among brethren. The moment somebody is stirring up strife, God is grieved with that. He doesn't like that. But it's the Spirit of Christ to go to work to bring reconciliation as quickly as he can. Because Psalm 133, behold how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There, that's where God commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Amen.
But Satan knows that. He knows that God has a special blessing for brethren dwelling together in unity. That's why he fights unity so much. That's why the palmer worm comes to eat the fruits, the love, and then eats the leaves, which is the fellowship. And you find there's a division now. But the Lord starts working, says, I will restore, says the Lord. And all we've got to do is say, Lord, I want to be a child of the King. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to yield myself to your Spirit. I want to be an instrument of blessing, not an instrument of strife. I want to be a facilitator to bring people together, not cause strife and bring division among brethren. Now, the word is peacemakers. Okay. Peace doesn't make itself. Just left to itself, you'll never have peace. But that's right. The first law of entropy, the law of entropy, the law of thermodynamics. Anything left to itself will decay. Look at your garden. Yeah. Look at your toenails or anything. Things they don't fix themselves. You've got to put active effort in to keep things in order. Things left to themselves tend to just look at your house. The gutter will fall off. This will, you've got to keep maintaining something to keep it in the right condition. Things naturally fall apart. Peace will never take care of itself. Just left. If things are just left, you end up with discords now. Your misunderstandings, this, that, and the other. And until we can bring the Spirit of Christ back into something. Remember, the Spirit of Christ is what? Is an active force. Is the Spirit of Christ not an active force? Sorry, bro. No, no problem, bro. The Spirit of Christ, like we're saying, is that if you think of this, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. It's like making peace, that's a verb. That's a doing word. This is not just a passive something that you sit back and say it'll take care. It doesn't take care of itself. The problems just increase. Blessed are the peacemakers now. The ones now that follow the Spirit of Christ, the Lord is a peacemaker. He came down from glory into Eden to bring reconciliation with his children. You know, he's on the case. He's doing something. He can't just leave it the way that it is. No. No, that's what I'm saying. But it's got to be done in the Spirit. We can make it worse. Now, you try to fix something, like I said, at the wrong time, you'll make it worse. But the Spirit of Christ inside of you and I will be constraining you, constraining me to say, you need to make this right. You need to go and sort this out. Well, how can you leave this like this? And if we can just yield and allow the Holy Ghost in us to express himself like the prophet said to Billy Paul, then you won't have these problems. But someone's got to really allow the Holy Ghost to express himself, to come and take control of that situation, to mediate, to be a facilitator, to bring the warring parties together. And there's no contention in the kingdom of God among the saints that cannot be reconciled. Because we come from the same kingdom before the foundation of the world. We're born of the same Spirit. We're born of the same word. We're walking in the light of the same message. But there's no reason why. There's anything can't be reconciled as long as the Spirit of God is given an opportunity to do what he does best, which is make peace, to restore, to reconcile once again. So the Holy Ghost, the peacemakers, the Holy Ghost is always seeking for expression. He's seeking to express himself. This is the definition of peacemakers. Those who always end a quarrel if they can. And those who lay themselves out to prevent discord. You get involved. No, no, no. Hey, brethren, let's talk about this. Let's not let this go any further. Let's pray. Let's consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Let's do something. Let's get the Lord involved in this. That's what a peacemaker is. You'll always end a quarrel if you can. But what does the spirit of the devil do? Adds fuel to the fire. And he loves that strife. Yeah, did you see gossip and all these kind of things? That's diabolos at work. know, when there's a division coming between, to make the division even wider, to try to cause a permanent breach, to get other people involved so you end up with camps and cliques and all of these kind of things taking place, then you're in a lot of trouble. But Satan loves to do those kind of things. Now, what does this show us? The Beatitudes, a lot of them, are very practical things. Christianity, in its essence, is practical. Its foundation is spiritual principles. Yeah? It's a spiritual foundation. It's built of attitudes, but then it moves on to actions. That's what Jesus is showing in the Beatitudes. These are, you've got certain characteristics, but these characters have got to unfold themselves. They've got to express themselves. The kingdom of God is always seeking expression, always looking to express itself, always looking to expand. You know? The word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. It's not a passive force, it's an active force. And that is what the spirit of peacemaking is, because it's the spirit of Christ. It's always, and God demonstrated this all to us himself. Peacemakers, when it speaks of peacemaking, it speaks of harmonious relationships. I put a thing there of tuning. So you get out of tune with somebody. You get out of tune with your child, out of tune with your wife, your husband, your friend, brother, sister, whatever. You're not in tune anymore. You had a different frequency. So the Spirit of Christ wants to come in and tune you back to the same frequency because you're all playing in the same orchestra. This is the great symphony. You know, but you can get in discord. We can, somebody plays the wrong note. And like we say, when they're playing there, that orchestra, let one violin be out of tune. People forget all the other instruments and they focus on that one. And because it's discord, and somebody's got to use some time and some effort and some skill to put some energy into that, to tune it back to where it's supposed to be, so that it's in harmony with the rest of the orchestra. And then you're going to find that you can just keep moving, turn the page music, and get into the next movement of the symphony. But it's speaking of bringing things back into harmony. And that's a spiritual thing. That's not just a natural thing. There's a natural side to it. But if there's no spiritual harmony between two people, it doesn't matter how much you try to bring them into natural harmony, you're wasting your time. The real battle is the spiritual battle. If I see Brother James, maybe I'm out of harmony with him. But I see inside of my heart, I want to be one with my brother. There's got to be a willingness that he wants to be one with me. We've already won the battle. The battle, before we even actually sit down and start discussing whatever's come in the way, the battle is a spiritual battle. You know, it's a spiritual harmony. We've got to get ourselves firstly tuned in with the Lord ourselves first. Because you can't go and tune somebody else's instrument as yours is out of tune. What are you going to tune it to the same as yours or even worse? No, you've got to get yourself in harmony. Now, true peace, I think I've mentioned this before. It's not maintaining an uneasy status quo. That's what I'm saying. Peacemaking is a verb. It's a doing word. It's not sitting back being passive, saying, I'm sure it'll sort itself out. Some things do, but very few things do. Because there's spiritual warfare, because of our fallen nature, because of the conditions of the day, the pressures of life. We just leave things to themselves. Do you think they're going to go up spiritually or they're going to go down spiritually? It's going to keep on going down until somebody uses it as a verb and gets involved spiritually, led of the spirit to start doing something about it. Peace never makes itself. We've got to make peace. We've got to be peacemakers. That's the way it is. It's not just leaving things where they are. What does Paul say in Hebrews 12? Follow peace. That literally means pursue shalom. Pursue peace with all men. Follow peace. Don't just desire peace with all men. It's actually saying follow peace with all men. If you see something's coming in the way, go and have a cup of tea with them. Invite them here. Go and pray with God. Whatever that it is the Lord leads you to do. But it's actually pursuing peace. You see, it's an action here. It's not something which you just leave and you don't leave it to somebody else. You pursue peace. That's really what Paul is saying. What about Ephesians 4, verse 3? Endeavoring, which means making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, that's a command from the scripture. that we should be making every effort to keep the unity of, make sure there's harmony in the bond of peace. That's our responsibility as the Spirit of Christ for our own good, for the good of the anointing in the church, for the good of the kingdom being able to express itself, for the good of the lost being saved, the sick being healed, our children coming into the kingdom. It's up to us to try, endeavor to keep the atmosphere right so that the kingdom can express itself. Otherwise, all that you're doing is in vain in the end. What about Christ, the great peacemaker? What, just to show, Jesus demonstrates sometimes the great price, the sacrifice involved in peacemaking. It's not easy being a peacemaker sometimes. What did Paul say about Jesus? Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. So for us to have peace with God, Jesus had to come and take up his cross, had to come leave bloody footprints, had to come and suffer and die on the cross. There was a price to be paid. There was sacrifice to be made to bring reconciliation once again, to bring us into harmony with God. Needed the peacemaker to shed his blood. He was willing to say, no, I can't leave them out of fellowship. I can't leave them without oneness with my Father. Whatever I have to do, whatever price I have to pay to mediate this, I'm willing to pay the price. And the price was so high that in Gethsemane, he said, if it's possible, let the cup pass from me. And it was hard what he had to do. But Paul says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Wow. Paul's really, really showing us that to be a peacemaker, that's why it says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. These are the real offspring of God because they're following in the footsteps of their Father. It's really God-like. And they're following what the Spirit of Christ does. I put a picture there. There's Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of Britain, 1938, when Hitler was taking over all the Austria and all these different places. And he thought he could appease. Peace is not appeasement. Appeasement is you just don't want any problems, don't want any strife, so you compromise. That's not being a peacemaker. You can never bring a real peace by compromise. And that's what Chamberlain, you can understand, it was 1938, just 20 years since the First War, where one whole generation of young men had been slaughtered in Europe, in the trenches, the Western Front, France and all that. For people to think that somebody wants to take us to war once again. It's like, no, we need to find peace at any cost. And he flew across Chamberlain and spoke to, he comes back, says, I spoke to Herr Hitler. I have his signature on this page. And what did he say? It's peace in our time. But it wasn't, you can't make peace by appeasing. You've got to deal with the issues. Yeah. But there was a man there called Winston Churchill, and he had been crying out the whole of the 1930s, right up to this, say, you can never make peace with this man. We need weapons, we need whatever, because the only way to make peace with this man is to defeat him by war. And sometimes it's got to be like that if somebody's in nations. But peace is not appeasement. That's why it doesn't say, blessed are the peace lovers, but it's the peacemakers. It's not enough just to love peace. It'd be nice if you could have peace. You've got to do something about it. You've got to go about it the right way. You know, somebody, in the Bible dictionary on this word, peacemaker, it says there's many a person who thinks he's loving peace when he's in fact piling up trouble for the future because he refuses to face the situation and take the action that the situation demands. Yeah, it can be our natures like it, our temper, like Abraham with Lot. He allows things to come to a state that there's big strife, they're almost fighting out in the fields. Then he gets involved. And then he says, okay, you go to the left, I go. And then he becomes a peacemaker. But you can leave it for too long. What about with Hagar? Abraham made the same problem again. He left the problem brewing in the camp for too long. And then it became a big issue. Yeah, and that's why it's not just being passive and sitting back and saying, I don't want to cause problems here. There's times it's better go and cause problems. If causing problems is going to bring peace, let's cause all the problems that we need. Because sometimes it's like that. We've got to actively face, this is the Bible dictionary, it says, It says, the peace which the Bible calls blessed does not come from the evasion of issues. You're not running away from the issue. It comes from facing them, dealing with them, and conquering them. What has come between you and me? Let's conquer that thing. Let's conquer the devil who's come between us. Let's wage spiritual warfare against whatever's come between us, not against you or against me, but let's conquer this something that's come between us. We can't just evade the issue and say, look, I don't want to cause problems. No, maybe it's not my issue. It's your issue. If you know about it, it's your issue. Might just be you to pray about it, who knows? But whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, if He's allowed you to know about the issue, He's given you a commission. He's given you a responsibility. At least do something about it, even if that means just going and speaking to somebody else who you feel is better equipped to handle the situation. Says finally, it says, what this beatitude demands is not the passive acceptance of things because we're afraid of the trouble of doing something about them, but the active facing of things and the making of peace, even when the way to peace is through struggle. There's many times to come to peace with somebody, you've got to bump heads and say some heated words. Let's sit down and iron this thing about, I wasn't happy with this. I wasn't there. Let's keep working it. And then, you break them, then there's peace. You've taken the issue, taken the bull by the horns. You've dealt with the problem. There was a struggle in the process, but it's worth it because both of you desire the same outcome. You desire peace at the end, but the issues have come in. Deal with the issues. Struggle through the issues. Come and let us reason together, the Lord said. Sometimes you've got to do those things to get peace. Once again, coming to a close. The last slide, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is how you know the real children of God. You will see this expression inside of them. They love peace, obviously, because every child of God loves peace, but it goes beyond just loving peace. They are peacemakers. They don't like to see division. They don't like to see strife. They don't like to see something having come between. They don't like to see the spirit of the devil expressing himself and having opportunity. But the best place to start is in prayer. It's always the best place to start. Like we always speak about Nehemiah, he started in prayer. He saw the breaches in Jerusalem. He saw that things weren't going well down among the brethren. He didn't quickly go down there and criticize them for the condition of things the way that they were. He got burdened himself. And when we were speaking at church the other week about getting yourself out of the wilderness cycle, the thing you've got to do is that if each of us, if you see, like in your family, things are not going well, there's no peace in the home anymore, every person needs to take a personal responsibility. The Spirit of Christ will never lead you to play the blame game. Things aren't going well here. It's all because it's mummy's fault or daddy's fault or whatever. No. Once you really start getting serious as a peacemaker and you start praying about it, you start taking personal responsibility. Now you're praying like Daniel and you're praying like Nehemiah. I and my father's house have sinned. Lord, I've sinned against you. He didn't listen to what the prophet said. That's what Daniel prayed. He knew there's problems here, but I'm going to face up to my personal responsibility. I'm not just going to blame somebody else for the problem. They must fix it, but I'm going to take this upon myself. Remember the prophet in taking sides with Jesus, he says that. He says, every person in the home has the responsibility to the home. He says, if it's the wood is out there and it's starting to rain and you need the wood for your fire, and normally it's Frank who goes and gets the wood, but Frank's not there. He says, that's Frank's job. He says, no, it's your responsibility because you are part of the family. If Frank's not there, you go and bring the wood in because you're part of the family. It's for the good of the whole family. And that's the same way that it is with peacemaking. We need to take a personal responsibility. When things aren't well, let's all humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I and my father's house have sinned. Lord, you forgive me. Lord, search me and try me. And then you get yourself tuned in first. Then you get down to Jerusalem like Nehemiah did. And now there's going to be a lot of good things taking place. And the breaches are going to be built up surprisingly quickly until even the enemy says, surely God is in this. Because the Spirit of Christ is so much in the business of building up the bridges, of restoring things once again, of reconciliation. So let's be peacemakers. And you find, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's the real, real thing about the peacemakers. Let's stand, saints. Amen. Amen. This has come to a word of prayer. Let's just ask for the Lord to quicken the word to our souls. That if we don't have peace, or there's something which you know inside of your life, or something in your sphere of influence that isn't the way that it should be, may the Spirit of God not allow us to rest until we come and cast this burden upon Him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then now we follow as peacemakers the leadership of the Spirit. And we now used and express the spirit of the kingdom to bring a reconciliation. To maybe you'll be a mediator, maybe you'll be a reconciler, whatever that it is. But let His will be done. Father, we do come before Thee, Lord, upon this day. We do confess this to You, Lord. May You please forgive us where we've fallen short in these things, Lord. Father, You forgive us, Lord. Father, where we haven't been peacemakers. You forgive us, Lord, where we've allowed the enemy to, Lord, bring his works and to express himself. Father, instead of submitting ourselves to You and allowing You to express yourself. But Lord, upon this evening, we desire, Lord, let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come. Let, Father, Your will be expressed in and through us. Wash us in Your blood. Tune us back in with You, we pray. And lead and guide each and every one of us, Lord, is our desire to be peacemakers for Your glory. That, Father, Your kingdom may be established, that Your people may be edified, that Your great work, Father, may be complete, that, Father, You may do, Lord, what You desire to be done. Father, we want to submit ourselves to You upon this evening. Pray Your blessing upon Your people as we depart from this place. You watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Brother James.
Thank you. Let's sing 171. Wonderful piece.
Yes.
It's A flat. A flat. Yes, I'm sure. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than sound. In celestial lights, strains it unceasingly falls. Oh, my soul, like an infinite path. Oh, peace, peace. Oh, yes, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Oh, yes, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Oh, yeah. Peace, peace, oh, wonderful peace coming down from the Father. Oh, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Oh Lord, He is my Lord, wonderful peace coming down from the sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Oh, yes, and thanks when I rise to God's where the author of peace I shall see. That the strain of the song which the ransom will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Oh, yes, peace, my Lord, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. Oh, yes. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. Billows of love. Soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend, and shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime, my Lord. Peace. Oh, yes, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Oh, Lord. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the sun.
Brother Ngoni, peace in the valley.
Comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the light is the light, and the night lies as fair as the day. Oh, yes. There'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. I'll see there'll be peace in the valley. Only,
yeah, E flat. The flower will be blue and the ground will be green and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh, yes, will the sun never be in this valley of dreams. And no clouds there will ever be seen. Oh, yes, there'll be peace in the valley for me. Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bird will be gentle. And the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes, well, the beast from the wild shall be led by little child. And I'll change from this creature that I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, there'll be peace in the valley for me. Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, oh, no sorrow, no trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Amen. God bless you, saints. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you.